Some women kill for revenge or money. Others take lives for their perverse pleasure.
Inflicting pain was sexually arousing, and that is a strong motivator.
A lovesick woman.
Let me show you where you're gonna be staying.
Uses people as playthings.
This one's for me.
These were people they didn't know. These were not people that they had something against.
Jealousy and envy leads to unspeakable deeds.
What are you doing?
She was alive until that very last terrible act.
And a mother has no concept of parental love.
There were no limits as to what she would do.
These deadly women get their kicks out of malicious torment. They are kinky killers. In the company of strangers.
This charming couple that look harmless.
You guys going on a trip?
It pays to be wary.
They'd be invited in their house.
Let me show you where you're gonna be staying.
Appearances can be misleading.
Because they trusted them.
Okay. Have fun.
Some moments can change the course of a person's life.
Hi there.
In an instant.
Hi.
I noticed that you finished your drink.
Oh.
Thanks. 1983, in Waukegan, Illinois.
My fiance wouldn't like it.
Today is one of those moments.
It's just a drink, baby. I won't tell anybody.
Okay.
The day 21-year-old Deborah Brown meets 28-year-old Alton Coleman.
There's a kind of instant chemistry that apparently clicks in.
You have the most beautiful brown eyes.
Yeah?
Coleman was a charmer who could smooth talk his way into people's confidence.
And who are you here with?
Deborah is mesmerized.
She was engaged to another man, and very quickly they fell in love, and she left her fiance and moved in with Coleman.
As the relationship grows, one thing is clear. Alton is accustomed to getting his own way.
Where were you?
I just went to the...
One of the first things Alton did was to isolate her from her friends and family.
I'm sorry, Alton. I'm sorry.
The consequence of that is that she became totally emotionally dependent on Alton.
It's just you and me now.
Submission is something Deborah knows about.
It's just you and me.
As a child, she is the victim of repeated sexual abuse.
Deborah was used to being abused and dominated. It's what she was comfortable with. And she found the right guy for that.
The depth of Deborah's devotion is tested 1 year later in the summer of 1984. When Alton reveals a perverse obsession.
Hi, Mom.
Hey, how was the carnival?
Good.
Coleman was a deadly chameleon.
Time, didn't you?
Yeah.
He was a product of the streets.
Thank you so much for taking her.
That's okay.
Knew how to work people, knew how to approach people.
Listen, I was telling Juanita that we had a couple of speakers that she could have. Would it be all right if she came in with us just a bit more?
The couple work their charm on a new acquaintance, Juanita Wheat.
It won't take that long.
She has no idea her 9-year-old daughter, Vernita, is in danger.
I think you said no to that face.
And I believe it was one day after Alton Coleman met this woman.
Okay, as long as you promise me you'll come straight back.
Yeah, okay?
She allowed her daughter to leave with Alton Coleman.
I won't be gone long, okay?
All right.
Bye.
Let's go.
That's the last her mother sees her or of Coleman.
Vernita is the first victim of this now deadly union.
Alton Coleman took the girl, raped her, strangled her, found a car, took off out of town. And that was pretty much Alton Coleman's pattern.
3 weeks later, the couple is in Indiana. 9-year-old Annie Hilliard and her 7-year-old niece, Tamika Turks.
Whoa, girls, am I wearing my invisible coat or something?
Fall for Alton's charm.
Where are you guys off to in America?
Candy store.
So are we. Let's go.
Deborah not only stands by her man.
My niece has some clothes that she's getting rid of.
She joins in.
So why don't you come with us just to try them on?
I know. Why don't we go and try some clothes, and you go to the candy store?
What a great idea.
Deborah was bonded to Alton. She would do whatever he wanted her to do.
Come on.
There might be some pink leggings.
She was his.
And blue.
And blue.
With Deborah by his side, Alton has the perfect cover. In broad daylight, Annie and Tamika are lured away by the worst kind of stranger danger.
Shut up! Shut up!
The older girl, Annie, was forced to watch as Brown held Tamika down.
Shut up!
While Coleman stomped on her chest. And then strangled her afterwards.
The couple then turns on 9-year-old Annie.
Annie Hilliard was raped and then strangled.
They think they've killed Annie, but the little girl survives.
The last thing she remembers is passing out.
After each despicable act, Alton and Deborah move across state lines, staying one step ahead of police. They have only just begun charming their way to murder. In the summer of 1984, 21-year-old Deborah Brown and boyfriend 28-year-old Alton Coleman are on a road trip across the Midwest. Destination, murder.
They just found people that were innocent, murdered them, and moved on to their next victim.
Next state, Ohio.
Thank you so much for letting us stay tonight.
In Toledo, 30-year-old Virginia Temple and her 10-year-old daughter, Rochelle, invite the couple to stay.
Coleman had met the woman and her child at church.
Any friend of the Reverend's is a friend of mine.
They would approach people, represent themselves very much as a Christian couple, and then would gain the sympathy of these God-fearing people.
Let me show you where you're gonna be staying.
I love your hair.
Rochelle and her mother are not just kind hosts.
Listen, it's an old bed, but it's
to real Alton and Deborah, they are easy prey.
Normally, their purpose wasn't to murder the adults, it was to rape and murder the children. But they beat the lady so bad she died.
Now it's your turn.
The bodies of Virginia Temple and her young daughter were found strangled, raped, and stuffed in the crawl space of their home.
It's unusual for children who were sexually abused and raped to grow up to be a sexual abuser of children, but it does happen about 33% of the time. Victim becomes victimizer, and in that process, they feel powerful instead of helpless.
5 weeks after killing their first victim, Alton and Deborah's appetite for death continues to grow.
They're just kind of on a rampage, but it's not all at once, such as a mass murder. And it's not a serial killing in that there's really not a cooling off period between murders. It's simply a spree.
Four days later, in Cincinnati, Ohio, 15-year-old Tawny Story makes a grave mistake. She trusts the strangers.
This one's for me.
Deborah wasn't just a sidekick.
Order.
She was right there along with Coleman, doing every part of every crime.
Now an old hand at killing, Deborah strengthens her role. With shocking brutality.
It's one thing to shoot and kill somebody with the detachment of a gun, but to go hands-on, whether it's strangling someone, stomping a little girl, that's violence of a horrific bent.
Eight days after her mother reports her missing, Tawny Story's badly decomposed body is found where she died. Because the murders cross so many state borders, the FBI is called in.
At this point, Coleman now is put into a provisional category in the FBI's most wanted list. There's the 10 most wanted. He gets a special place of his own as number 11.
In Norwood, Ohio, Harry and Marlene Walters are unaware of any investigation.
So, what do you need the camper van for? You guys going on a trip?
They are not Deborah and Alton's typical victims. But the couple is in need of money and transportation.
It's got everything you need.
Harry was found at the bottom of the basement steps. Marlene Walters' skull had been pulverized. Her scalp and face were raked more than a dozen times with a pair of vice grips. It was a very bloody scene.
Harry survives, but has permanent injuries. The survivors prove critical to solving the case. They tell investigators a woman is involved.
To have a female involved is just very, very, very unusual. So when you get a couple working together and then to have it happen over and over in a somewhat confined area, the Midwest, all that put it together that these are the people we're looking for.
Only 1 week later, the killing spree comes to an end.
They are now wanted fugitives. If somebody recognizes them when they return to a neighborhood that they had been in before.
Police swoop in and put an end to the mayhem across six states involving eight murders.
In a 3-month period of time, they did so much damage to so many people.
Both Alton Coleman and Deborah Brown are sentenced to death. In April 2002, Alton is executed by lethal injection. Deborah's sentence is commuted to life in prison. No possibility of parole.
Deborah has never expressed remorse. Kind of makes me wonder what's going on in her head.
I don't believe either one of them would be the kind of person, if you pass them on the street, you'd think, oh my God, that's a serial killer. So not only did they not look like serial killers, they certainly didn't act like serial killers until they were timed to do what they set out to do, which is kill.
Sometimes, when children are neglected,
they grow up feeling like an outcast and feeling bad about themselves.
Subjected to unspeakable acts.
A very young child was in the room during the entire event.
They can end up very deadly women.
Sometimes they want to get even.
In the fall of 1980, Dalton, Georgia, two worlds collide.
Oh, this is it here.
From out of town, penniless young couple, Janice and Danny Buttram, hope to make a fresh start.
Hello.
Hello, gorgeous.
And fellow motel resident, 19-year-old Demetra Parker, makes them welcome.
Would you mind taking her for a sec?
Sure.
Pretty girl, very outgoing, friendly, interested in people, loved children. She saw the baby.
Thanks so much.
Came over to talk to Janice, to goo and tickle the baby, that kind of thing.
I'm just two doors down. Do you ever need me?
Oh, thank you so much.
And that's what brought them together.
Janice and Danny soon experience small-town hospitality.
We appreciate you doing this for us.
No problem.
Demetra embodies the spirit of Dalton.
Okay, so the supermarket's up here and the laundromat's across the road.
They didn't have an automobile, and she'd drive them back and forth to the store in different places.
So what's a pretty girl like you doing in a crappy hotel like that?
I'm just staying there until my boyfriend and I can find a place.
Demetra, at 19, she was spreading her wings a little bit, trying to find a little independence.
Oh, you have a boyfriend?
Yeah, that's why I moved here.
Janice and Danny are not used to such open trust.
Can I drop you off here?
That'd be great, thanks.
They come from a very different world.
Thank you.
Janice was from a poor family. Had never had an opportunity to have anything in her life.
Fostered to alcoholic parents, Janice grows up neglected in squalor.
She had been abused as a young lady, and she had been taken to the dump to retrieve articles and food or whatever to survive on.
She would go to school and be so filthy and smelled so bad, the other children wouldn't play with her and made fun of her.
Foster homes, sexual abuse, and juvenile detention fill her childhood.
Janice began to see the world as an unsafe place no matter where she went. She couldn't get away from danger.
Hey.
You got a spare smoke?
Sorry, this is my last one. But I know we can get some more.
Let's do.
Follow me.
After she hooks up with 26-year-old Danny Buttram, she sees an opportunity for a new life.
Danny was a very passive fellow, meek little looking little guy.
So, I can get you smokes and beers whenever you want.
Serious?
Yeah.
You want to marry me?
Are you serious?
To 15-year-old Janice, Danny is her ticket out.
Okay.
Marrying Danny was about as good as it was ever gonna get for Janice.
Really?
Yeah.
But he is hardly a white knight. 11 years her senior. He's a divorced father with a drinking problem.
Despite the age differences between the two of them, the Janice was certainly the brains of the outfit. And Danny was the sort that could be led anywhere, and she'd led him.
I've got a storybook for you.
Janice soon has her own family, a little girl.
Well, the bear was searching through the flowers.
And their kind motel neighbor, Demetra, is more than happy to babysit.
Pretty pictures.
I don't know how Janice and Danny came across to Demetra, but they won her trust, and she loved their little girl. But Demetra trusted the wrong people.
Years of abuse and neglect leave 17-year-old Janice Buttram with strange ideas about fun.
You guys ready for a big night?
I want to pick up a girl.
Really?
Yep.
What does your wife think about that?
She wants to try something kinky.
She's all right, as long as she gets bigger than first.
Oh, I see.
A threesome with husband Danny.
She was a leader. She could have Danny do anything that she wanted him to do.
On September 3rd, 1980, the couple and a friend scour the streets of Dalton, Georgia, looking for girls.
Hey there, pretty. We're going to a party. You want to come?
No, thanks.
Bitch.
Loser.
Lesbian.
Four lucky women rebuffed their advances.
That was very smooth, Dan.
Shut up.
Calm down. We'll find another girl.
Janice isn't worried. She knows someone who trusts them. The couple's new friend, 19-year-old Demetra Faye Parker.
Janice and the baby went to Demetra's room.
What's wrong?
To ask for a cigarette.
You need a cigarette?
A cigarette? It's 4 o'clock in the morning.
I know, but it's really urgent, please.
When Demetra finally concluded that it would be all right, she cracked the door.
What are you doing?
And then they pushed their way in. Janice put the baby, her baby, on the bed. Demetra was fighting back, trying to get away from it.
What starts as a sexual adventure turns into something else.
Danny and Janice brutalized Demetra.
Please.
They raped her. They beat her.
In Janice's twisted mind, Demetra is not a victim, but a potential rival for her husband's lust.
She was jealous of Demetra. She thought Danny was interested in her. It's hard to know what Janice was thinking. But it wasn't right.
Lie!
Janice's retribution reflects a lifetime of abuse on a kind stranger who befriended her and her daughter. The infant watches as her mother stabs Demetra 97 times.
Janice was trying to make the girl die. Finally stuck the knife in their lower abdomen and literally cut her across. She was alive until that very last terrible act.
It wasn't enough for Janice to simply kill Demetra. She wanted her destroyed. There was nothing left.
The couple steal Demetra's jewelry, some cash, and her car. But they don't get far. When motel staff discover Demetra's body the next morning, police issue an alert for her stolen vehicle. It is soon spotted outside a restaurant, and the couple is arrested.
She still had Demetra's ring on her finger.
Danny blamed it all on Janice, and Janice blamed it on Danny. But at the trial, they were both found guilty.
Tried first, Danny is convicted of rape and murder and sentenced to death. A week later, he hangs himself.
His life was over. He was finished. There was nothing else for him. He'd lived a terrible life, and there wasn't any point going forward.
In 1981, Janice Buttram is found guilty of murder. The 17-year-old is sentenced to death. In 1989, on appeal, it is commuted to life. Demetra Parker had the world ahead of her. Her only crime was befriending strangers.
If Janice had been taken out of the horrible environment she lived in as a child, her entire life might have been different, and her victim might be alive.
Sometimes, when a woman gets what she wants,
I want that.
Once is not enough.
It didn't matter to her anymore what line she crossed. She wanted to fulfill her own needs.
Can we go home now, Mom?
She'll do anything to get it again.
It really turned him on.
In the early 1990s, in Sacramento, California.
We've only got 20 minutes.
37-year-old Michelle Machado.
We have to go to church tonight.
Is a friendly woman raising a family.
Come on.
Michelle was very pretty. People said that she was fun to be around. She was very personable.
And may we always be mindful of the needs of others.
Amen. She was really well liked at church. And was always helping people.
So, why are you behind in your assignment?
Procrastination.
But this beautiful mom has an edgier side.
She always wanted a little bit of excitement, kind of on the outer fringes of society.
Just for me.
Michelle gets her kicks.
I cost a little more than champagne.
As a prostitute.
Oh, I'll be with you, baby. But you have to pay.
I think Michelle believed the best she could do in life was to be a paid play toy for men.
So, what do you say? Cheers.
But prostitution isn't giving Michelle enough of a thrill.
It was just too calm, too stable for her. She was always looking for something else.
Michelle wants more.
I want that.
What she saw was a bad, bad guy.
37-year-old James DeVeggio is a convicted rapist.
She liked him instantly. She was attracted to what she saw.
It's one of those things you've got to watch out what you ask for, because it was the last thing she needed.
They start a relationship, but it is a rocky one.
Where the hell have you been?
None of your goddamn business.
Tell me where you've been or you're not coming in.
Open the door.
No, I am not opening the door.
They could both have violent streaks. But when she wanted to, she could stick up for herself.
Hey, hey, hey.
There's one thing that keeps them together.
Drugs, look!
Drugs.
Now, can you open the door?
James introduces her to methamphetamine.
It causes feelings of euphoria, of strength, of being powerful, being sexy. In fact, when people are on methamphetamine, they feel they can do virtually anything.
With the methamphetamine comes a whole new Michelle. More edgy than she's ever been.
For Michelle, this drug was like pouring gasoline on a smoldering fire.
But no one could imagine.
Where's Renee?
How far her drug use.
Renee's not here, but with someone else I work with.
And her bad boy would go.
Let me go!
39-year-old Michelle Machado likes living on the edge.
I cost a little more than champagne.
As a prostitute and methamphetamine addict. She's fallen for convicted rapist James DeVeggio.
I want that.
And joins him in assaulting young women. Their first victim is a 12-year-old friend of Michelle's daughter.
It was always something within Michelle that led her to this dark side, that she would not pull back from it. She was a sexual predator.
They are soon looking for their next victim. In September 1997, on the streets of Sacramento, California.
Michelle described it as hunt for their prey. They were all female, all young. She was an equal partner in the crimes that they committed. Not only was she an equal partner, but that she initiated much of what happened.
We can't just let her go, Mickey. She goes straight to the cops.
She's not gonna go to the cops. She's not that stupid, are you?
I won't go to the cops. I promise.
At first, they let their victims go.
Hey, don't walk alone again at night. Next time you won't be so lucky.
Yeah. No one is safe in the couple's path, and each assault leaves Michelle wanting more. She is addicted.
For Michelle, inflicting pain and seeing the suffering of these young girls was sexually arousing. And that is a strong motivator.
Soon, Michelle proves she'll do anything to get a high.
Mom, where are we going?
For a ride.
Even sacrifice her 13-year-old daughter.
Please, Mom, I want to go.
The fun is yet to begin, honey.
She was only 13 years old at the time.
Mom, this isn't funny anymore. Can we please go home?
She said, Mom, make James stop.
Please, Mom.
Michelle said, no. He's going to have sex with you.
Mom, please.
And that's exactly what he did.
Between August and November in 1997, the couple attack five young girls, including family and family friends.
It just shows you how depraved Michaud and DeVega were, that they would victimize their own children.
The couple keep on the move, turning their van into a vehicle of torture.
They bought a ball gag, which could be used in somebody's mouth so they wouldn't scream. They wanted somebody who was going to be restrained, would have to do everything they said.
Fueled on methamphetamine.
Keep going.
On December 2nd, 1997.
What about her?
No, keep going.
James and Michelle go prowling.
Her, she's the one. Turn around.
For them, it was a hunt and kill game. And the hunt really turned them on.
...22-year-old Vanessa Sampson still lives at home with her family. She's saving up for college.
Vanessa was a happy girl. Everyone liked her. She had a lot to look forward to in life. She was just a nice girl. They kidnapped Vanessa for the same reason they did it to their other victims. So that's what they did for fun.
They had Vanessa for half a day at least. She must have suffered horribly. I mean, it was constant molestation. It would have just been horrifying.
perverse pleasure from sexual assault is no longer enough for the sadists.
When they pulled on the rope and murdered Vanessa, James said to Michelle, "Now we're bonded forever."
But they will soon be separated. Permanently. Earlier victims, including Michelle's daughter, have gone to the police. The law tracks down Michelle and James. While they are being questioned, Vanessa's body is found by a roadside.
Michelle is a sadist, pure and simple. And that's why she was able to rape and torture a young girl. She liked it.
With key evidence and victims' testimony, Michelle Machad and James DeVeggio are convicted of first-degree murder.
James DeVeggio received the death penalty for what he had done. Michelle got the death penalty as well. It's very uncommon in California. She is only the third woman that I know of on death row.
Michelle always wanted life on the edge. But a lethal cocktail of mind-altering drugs and a willing accomplice push her over to the dark side.
Michelle Machad was a perfect match for James DeVeggio. She was evil before she met him. The combination of the two of them together just made it much worse. Of all the female killers I've studied, Michelle is one of the worst. She's in the top 10.
These deadly women found stimulation in inflicting pain. Deborah Brown's charm lured many to their death. Janice Buttram tortured and killed a kind neighbor. And Michelle Machad's perverted tastes left no line uncrossed. All three women enjoyed their victims' anguish. Inflicting pain was their passion. They were kinky killers.